It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to Cubs Pod for Monday, April 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is Danny Rocket coming to you here with the lovable Loose Ears, Lyle Acker.
Hey, welcome to the Red Sox Pod because we smoked your asses.
Aren't you supposed to go, Jarl Kostremski?
Jarl Kostremski!
Who's the guy? We went to the game yesterday.
Wait a minute. I did forget that. Sunrando!
We don't do that one on this show.
I know. That's okay. I just wanted to do it. It's been a minute.
Well, so this is Cubs Pod. It's the podcast brought to you by you, a Patreon only, although because this is a special episode because we're driving from Boston to New York City right now to go see the Cubs and the Mets after seeing the Cubs and the Red Sox last night. We are going to do a special podcast, probably put it out of the regular feed too. So, hi everybody. Hi, Sunrando people. If you don't know and you're a newer listener to Sunrando Show, Lyle is the original co-host of Sunrando with me. We started the show in 2013, and so I know that you are just a big fan of Michael Cotton, and you're only there watching the show because of Cotton,
right?
But Lyle,
me too. The guy that got was almost an accident in front of us, people,
and we almost just died. And you would have heard it when they found our footage.
Made us famous, though.
But I do want to bring up Michael Cotton real quick because Michael Cotton paid for us to go to last night's game that the Cubs unfortunately lost 5-4. And full disclosure, Lyle is a Red Sox fan, was very excited about it. But Michael Cotton the dude's the generous as fuck. He bought us, he gave us $300 to buy tickets to the game.
For mine and Danny's 50th birthday. And let me tell you, man, fucking cool as hell. I'll never be able to thank Michael enough. What a great night. What a great experience. We sat right behind home plate. We probably saw our fat asses on TV all night. You know, Danny and I think we're still in our 20s and 30s, which is why we planned a trip like this where we're going non-fucking-stop for 4 days. And we're fucking exhausted. I mean, we're just all hopped up on trucker speed and caffeine right now. Exactly. We just ate so much corned beef hash. We're just farting up a storm. It's a disaster.
I can hear your arteries hardening from here. Right? I'm just in the passenger seat.
We're just too old. Like, I don't even know how I'm going to go to the game tonight. I'm going to need to take a nap.
Yeah. So anyway, we not only went to the game with Michael Cotton's $300 and sat right behind home plate, but we were able to treat another birthday boy, Miguel Esparza, and anybody listening to this show knows who I'm talking about, the Spanish language voice of the Cubs. His birthday is May 7th, so that's coming up, and so we treated him to the game as well, and Lyle's brother. So those are the four of us. We go down.
His birthday was in April, too.
Oh, all right. So everybody's birthdays are celebrated in we're in like the 11th row, I think. 11th row, right behind home. We could really see everything so well. All the curve of the pitches and, you know, the guy for the Red Sox, Hauk, was just ridiculous.
And like, we were directly behind the plate, right behind Marlins man, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Marlins man. We got a picture with Marlins man. But first, before we even got into the stadium, we were going around Yawkey Way. And Lyle bought us all sandwiches, so I had a steak sandwich. It was freaking delicious. It was just chopped steak with American cheese. This old lady with no hair and a beard.
Right, except on her chin.
Yeah. The hair was on her chin. She sold it to us. It was fucking delicious. She's been doing it all her life, and you can tell. How was your sausage?
So good. Dude, I mean, right, and we said right there, you're like, all right, 1-0 Boston. The food was better instantly.
Yeah.
So that was good. That was a great experience.
We are outside the stadium though, but it was still inside, kind of
in perfect weather. First warm night in New England this year, and it was like 65.
You're wrong, because Miguel Esparza turned to me. He looked at the weather, because he went through his whole pregame thing.
Oh, it was 4 degrees warmer than 65?
He showed it to me, and it was 69 degrees, and I looked at Miguel, and I said, nice. And in front of our very eyes, it went down to 68, right before first pitch, which was why the Cubs ended up losing.
Oh, I see. So, 2-0, Boston. It was 69 degrees right at the start of the game.
No, almost. It was almost 68 at the right before the start of the game, yes. We saw this freaking junior high kid sang the anthem and freaking blew it out of the water. She was incredible.
She really was incredible. She was in eighth grade, they said, right?
Eighth grade, yeah. And she was like, she sounded like freaking Whitney Houston. It was ridiculous. Maybe not Whitney Houston. I think I'm over-exaggerating.
And someone obviously super, super, super famous throughout the first pitch. So famous that every young woman under the age of 30 was screaming, like I thought I was at a Beatles show, and I can't remember what his name is right now. And Danny and I looked at each other,
who the fuck is this guy?
And everybody was like, oh my God, he's like the biggest star in the world right now. And I'm like, what?
Which is
like,
further proof that we're 50.
Right.
And that anything that's popular has nothing to do with us.
Yeah, so.
You know? Except for the Cubs. The Cubs are popular. Red Sox are popular. We could all share in that generationally. But not this guy, who kind of looked like Tom Green, I thought. You know, that comedian?
Yeah, with long hair.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, but we're right in front of the mascots. You got Wally dancing around. You got another guy, too.
His girlfriend, his wife, Tess. Tessie.
That's gross. Yeah. What do they fuck? They go in the monster and
they're furries.
They're furries. Birdie's got a wife, too, and she's got a mustache as well, which is no surprise for a freaking Wisconsinite.
Right.
So we sit down, beautiful weather, first pitch, full of freaking food, feeling good, great anthem, everybody's feeling great, and then the Cubs come up and go 1-2-3. this kid, Tanner Houck, I mean, maybe you want to speak about this guy a little bit. Your brother Pat said that he had gone to the last game he pitched, two games.
And he had a complete game shutout, I think a two-hitter, maybe, the previous game, so we had, you know, it was going to go one of two ways, we decided. It was either going to be he's going to just keep on plugging and just keep throwing heat and work the corners and have a great game, or he's going to get lit up. And it was the former, not the latter. And he was just, you couldn't wait for them to pull him out of the game.
Yeah, they didn't strike out in the first inning, which is surprising because the Cubs ended up striking out 9 times against Houck.
Yeah.
And then 12 times in the game. So this kid and like the movement on those pitches, we could really see it from where we were sitting. And it was super impressive. Like, you know, that ball was just diving all around. It had not only, he was locating, throwing like his secondary pitches for strikes. And when they did hit it, it was a bullshit hit. Even like some of their ones that got through, they weren't exactly, I don't think they, did they even crush a ball against them? Maybe they had one warning track shot.
Well, there was that one out where the right fielder made that amazing catch. That would have been a home run. That would have been the game, actually.
That would have been the game. Well, there's a couple things that happened in this game that kind of went not the Cubs' way.
Can I just like interject real quick? I don't know who the home plate umpire was last night, and I'm sure you can look that up and let me know, and maybe you can tell me how old he is. But if you had to guess before even looking, how fucking old do you think that guy was? And he couldn't barely move around back there. He literally, there was dirt all over the plate, and he couldn't even bend over to use the broom. He's sitting there, like, kicking it off with his feet.
Yeah, dude, we were yelling at him, like, use the broom!
And, you know, like, one of the Cubs pitchers was warming up during the game, and the ball got away, and he's, like, yelling for him to, like, get him a new ball so he could warm up, and he couldn't hear him. He wasn't paying attention. He was a disaster.
Yeah, and there were two balls thrown back to the pitcher at the exact same time, one by the catcher and the other one by, and I'll tell you, I got the
It's like somebody's grandpa got lost and just walked into the stadium and just started calling balls and strikes. It was a disaster.
I was calling him Enrico Palazzo.
But,
you know, I have his name right here. Ray Charles.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah. No, that's the wrong one. No, it's that guy, Stevie Wonder. Yes. That's what it is. Yeah, it's that guy.
Helen Keller.
Helen Keller, by the way. Right.
No, it was and here, this is going to make just as much sense because you heard of the guy. And every time you heard of the guy, he's shit. He sucks. Larry Vanover.
Oh, I didn't know that was Larry Vanover. I didn't know what he looked like because, you know, they always have their mask on, but.
and I'm going to say the joke that I've always... I didn't know it was Larry Vanover last night because I wouldn't pay attention to that kind of thing, but not, I used to always tell the joke, I wish somebody would run a van over Larry Vanover.
Yeah.
That's always been my joke about that guy.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Yeah, he sucked. But then in the... I mean, I don't know how it was on balls and strikes. I did not see the umpire scorecard, but he definitely missed a few where the catcher held it. Like, bro, that's right there. For both teams, though.
For both teams.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. It was probably pretty even.
Yeah, I didn't really feel too much favoritism. But then the Red Sox, they scored right away in the bottom of the first, and it was the Cubs' sloppy play that did it because Jaron Duran grounded out to Wisniewski, made a really nice play on it. You know, that kid's athletic. I love Wisniewski. Wisniewski with a pretty good game for the Cubs. His shit didn't look quite as good as Houck's.
No, but it did look
settled
good.
Once he settled in, he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
But so he picks up the ball. He fields the first ball of the game. Throws, you know. He took it himself. Remember, that was one unassisted.
Yep.
One pitch, one unassisted.
That's right. And you predicted 27 pitch, perfect game.
Yeah, exactly.
And it didn't
An immaculate count. Game
yeah.
is what I predicted at that yep. point. Although, isn't it an immaculate inning? Is that three pitches or is it?
I think it's nine pitches.
Nine
right?
pitches yeah, with yeah. the strikes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What is just a three pitch inning? Is that just a three pitch inning?
I don't know.
A golden inning?
A super immaculate.
Super immaculate golden diamond titanium inning.
Yes.
So then Rafael Devers, Nico Horner booted one, and he gets on. And, you know, that's not good. You can't give any extra outs to this team. And then. They walked Tight Pants O'Neill, whose pants aren't as tight as a Red Sox, I noticed, than as a Cardinal.
I think with the translucence of today's pants, he probably put them on. He said, well, I don't know that yeah. I want to do all that.
Yeah,
so,
I might bust these out in the second inning.
Yeah, I might go baggy on these ones. So I think that's probably what's happening. When they get the new pants, because they're supposed to be changing them out real soon, right?
Yeah, I did read something actually just this morning being like, message from Fanatics, we're going to fix this shit, basically.
Yeah.
So then they get a fly out to Abreu, and there's two outs in the inning. And then Connor Wong singled, they got the big two-out hit, and he singled in Devers, and Tyler O'Neill went to third. It's 1-0 Boston, and that, you know, that there's your margin in a 5-4 Cubs loss.
Yeah.
Masataka Yoshida then grounded out, and that was the end of the first. As 1-0 Boston, then the Cubs struck out 1-2-3.
Yeah.
Christopher Morel struck out. Michael Busch got called out, and then Dansby Swanson struck out swinging too. Morel specifically was taking some pretty healthy cuts, but he kind of like it looked like a Bugs Bunny pitch, and he looked like he was like cross-handed.
Yeah.
On some of those swings, like he was just like, you know, just not timing it. Nobody was. This Houck kid.
And he hurt his foot some point in the game, too, right?
He fouled off two in a row.
Yeah, and if he's got some kind of bone bruise that needs a day or two off, I would not be surprised because he was not happy.
Yeah, they were looking at his toe. He's like, dude, it went right off my pinky toe. And that was in his second at bat, though, I think. So maybe third even. In the bottom of the second, there was a little action for the Red Sox again. Like, Wisniewski took a moment to settle into this game. But he got flat, started, but Bobby Dalbec singled. Then he got a pop-out from Sedan Rafaela, who I guess is from a Curacao. That's
yeah.
what Miguel said. Then Bobby Dalbec stole second, but Jaron Duran struck out swinging. It was a little action, but nothing happened. Nobody scored anyway. Then Matt Mervis, who's in this game as the DH, led off the third. He grounded out. Then Miguel Amaya struck out swinging. Is that that's when those bat went fly to kill the fucking homeless kid.
Something happened.
Yeah. Killed an orphan, I believe.
Yeah, I believe that happened.
Yeah. And then Pete Caro-Armstrong grounded out. And that was it. Like, not really.
Trashy Pete.
Yeah, he'll make it. Yeah. He thinks Pete Caro-Armstrong looks like a meth dealer.
Yeah, I
agree.
I would say not baseball player. Cooks meth in his mom's basement, for sure. That bad teenage mustache that he's rocking is unbelievable. I love it. And I think I mean all of it as a compliment, but it's kind of wild.
If he can get on base consistently, he's going to be a problem. Because he can be very disruptive.
He's looking good so far, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, people have their questions. Because, I mean, the glove is there. And you saw him run down a ball in center field that looked like it was ticketed for the wall. Maybe it didn't have enough juice on it anyway, but people were excited about that hit. But yeah, that's a big outfield. It's not a big outfield. It's a weird outfield, but the center field is really
center field is really big there.
Yeah, so then in the bottom of the third, the Red Sox would add another one, and they probably should have added more because they had three singles in the inning from Devers, Connor Wong, and Yoshida. So they really had a lot more action, but they only got the one run, left a couple guys on, left a Connor Wong stand at third base when Emmanuel Valdez popped out. But, probably could have got more. It felt like there was a couple moments in the game where both teams were able to dance out of the fire.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a tight game.
And it was pitching that was saving each team every time they were able to do it.
Yeah. Top of the fourth, Cubs do nothing. Except for this is when Christopher Morel fouled two balls off his foot and couldn't walk anymore. And they each stayed in the game, though, and went out there. But the Cubs, unfortunately, when all that was happening, the Cubs had two on. Because with one out, Tuchman had singled, and so did Happ. So then Christopher Morel fouled off the next fucking five pitches off his foot. And then Michael Busch, he hit the ball hard, but didn't fall in. And you were saying this, too. That ball was hit hard. And Michael Busch, a left-handed hitter. So his pull side would be hitting the right field.
Right.
Michael Busch lined out to left fielder Tyler O'Neill.
And I was telling you before the game, I said, I really get a feeling, I know the Cubs have played Fenway a few times now, so the fan experience is different. And you noticed it last night. We talked about that a little bit. Because it's not as exciting maybe as it was in, 2007?
Yeah, when you play each other every year and it's not as special. Because the guy next to us said, back in 2007, these tickets would have gone for $500, and we got them for $100. So,
but
years later,
for the players, it is exciting, especially the young players who are like National League players, and they get to go play in Fenway. Like Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park. Baltimore. There's some of those stadiums. They're like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. But you feel it all the time when you see new kids coming into the stadium. They all want to hit a ball at the monster or over the monster. And Miguel even said, he asked
Morel
about it. He said, is that one of the goals? He said, absolutely. You want to, you see that thing and you just want to do it because you've been watching it your whole life, He's like, I think he said that Morel said that when he was a kid, he'd be playing MLB,
The show,
for the show. And he'd always play in Fenway and try to hit it over the monster.
Yeah, so guess what he's up there doing as he's following balls off his tiny toe.
Right.
He's trying to hit it over the monster.
And Danny, several times, he's like, I think you're right. It feels like these guys are just trying to hit it over there. Yeah, not paying attention to
they don't care about the fucking game at all. They're just trying to hit it over the monster. We saw that maybe with Michael Busch. I don't know. They probably pitched him a certain way as well to make this happen. But he lined out hard to left. He's a right-handed hitter. If he's trying to pull the ball, that's going to – or if he's a left-handed hitter, that ball's going to right. Instead, it gets caught right in front of the monster, and the inning is over. Then a really good inning for Wisniewski as he finally settled in the fourth inning and got the Red Sox 1-2-3 as Bobby Dalbec and Sedan Rafaela struck out. And Jaron Duran flew out to Happ. So that was a quick inning, and he needed it because even that flyout was only on two pitches. Wisniewski looked good in this game. I mean, that would be it for him. After that fourth inning, kind of goes out on top. But he ended up with only 63 pitches. I guess they kind of want to maybe use him out of the pen, maybe if they need him in New York. He isn't stretched out enough to do more. He might have been out of gas, and maybe it's not a good idea to him come up and face Devers to start the fifth anyway.
So. Yeah, he looked good, and I think that's probably the calculation. You're like, all right, you don't want Devers.
Yeah.
Disrupting the game that much. We still have a chance.
Yeah, so they took him out, but that was only after the Cubs went 1-2-3 in the top of the fifth. Mervis struck out, so did Amaya. And Dansby Swanson, he's the one that hit that ball. It was to lead off the inning where Willier Abreu ran it down. And they got that short-ass wall. I mean, Fenway's so weird, dude. Like, that wall in the right field corner is 2 feet tall. You could freaking break a kneecap on top of it.
And left field is 37 feet tall.
Yeah. And then they got this weird line that if it hits above, it's a homer. You know, where it's right in center field as well.
Yep.
And then of course, you know, the monster.
Yep, and then that deep corner in center, you know, just a little right of the monster, it's 420 straight away out there. And it's big. You see these center fielders, you know, like Red Sox are always served best when they have someone real speedy and a defensive specialist out there.
Yeah.
That's all you've seen out there pretty much since Fred Lynn.
Yeah, well, who's playing center right now? Who played last night? Duran,
thank you.
Is he that guy? Is he speedy?
Yeah, he's quick.
Yeah.
Not as quick as Crow Armstrong, I don't think, though.
No. Dude, Crow's going to be good. If he can just get on base consistently, and he has been, like, we're good with that kid. In fact, like, Bellinger's out. I'm, like, glad to see. I mean, we said we wanted to see the kids play.
Yep.
Well, guess what? Now everybody's fucking hurt.
Yep.
You're going to see the kids play. And the Red Sox are in a pretty similar situation.
Yeah, they have a lot of injuries, and there was not a full squad for either team.
Yeah, our best players are out, though, and I don't think that's the case with you as much.
Right.
You still have Devers, at least. You
of
know,
course, right? Of course.
We're on Bellinger. We got no Suzuki. We got no fucking Justin Steele throwing at you. Like, you're facing bullpen and fucking 4A guys right now. All right, so in the bottom of the fifth, I think that's where we were. Yeah. Bottom of the... Well, no, we kind of talked about it because Lovelady came in. Wisniewski goes out. Lovelady, who just comes up from the minors, he was pitching. He was like a non-roster invitee. They signed him into a minor league contract. He's been in the minors. He's had some major league experience, but he
also is he real or is he a Dickens character?
Well, his name is Dick Lovelady.
Dick Lovelady.
So he might be a porn star,
right?
So, but in that genre of, like, old-timey England.
Yeah.
You know, like, people that are really into street urchins,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, so...
Well, that's the entire type of porn that he does.
That's what he does,
very specialized, yeah.
And he pitches the fifth inning sometimes.
Right. And he's like, may I have another, sir?
Please, sir, can I have another dick in my butt? I'm Richard Lovelady. Well, actually, if he loves lady, then he would be... Well, we won't get into it. This is a family show. So he comes in, immediately walks Rafael Devers. He gets Tyler O'Neill to get called out on strikes, and then Will Urubreu flew out, and so did Connor Wong. So he did his job in the fifth. Pete Crow Armstrong, he grounded out. I thought he might beat it out. Every single ground ball, I think this kid might beat out because he's got blazing speed. But not when you hit it to the first baseman.
Right, there's not a lot you can do.
There's a pitcher covering. It's too close.
Although he made it close when the pitcher's running over there. You heard me. I was yelling. I was like, run faster. Yeah. He's fast.
Yeah. You got to get over there. Nico Hoerner grounded out. And then Mike Tauchman struck out swinging. Yency Almonte came in. And, man, this guy, you can see... He's, like, hanging by a thread on this roster, really. He's got options. They can't send him down. You're just going to have to DFA him. Somebody probably picks him up because the stuff's pretty good, so you want to see how it plays. This night, it did not play well. Walked the leadoff hitter.
But, wasn't he? I mean, he was dealing 100 miles an hour.
No, that was Palencia.
Oh, it was Palencia. Yeah. You're right. It wasn't. You're right.
Almonte dials it up there. Don't get me wrong.
The dude's got
funky stuff. He's got a weird arm angle. He's maybe tough to pick up. Like, we saw that. Like, I could see why you would, you know, because they both had good stuff. Like,
right.
You're looking at it, but he wasn't the 100. He wasn't the dude pumping 100. That guy comes next.
Sitting that close, right behind home plate at the angle we were, where we're just... enough above the ump that we can see the balls dropping in, and you know when there was a right-handed batter, we could see every ball coming in. We could see it hit the glove, and I gotta tell you, you know, you have good seats at times, but on a night like that when the humidity was up and it was a little bit warmer, and that ball was moving, man, it was, dude, it's 99 mile an hour wiffle balls coming at you. I don't know how those guys hit any of this.
Oh yeah, no, and they're all moving right at the end.
Yeah,
And they're spinning fast and like they're almost mesmerizing. Like you can see the spin of the ball. Well,
Danny's like Ted Williams. He's out there counting seams while the ball's coming in.
Exactly.
There.
I just focus on the middle seam that I see and I smack it. Yeah, they weren't spinning it up there in Ted Williams' day like they are now, though. He's out there seeing fucking batting.
They're throwing spitballs at
They're throwing spitballs, but they're throwing BP at him, some of these guys. You know, half of them didn't even have a second arm, got blew off in the war.
Right.
So, not even talking about World War II.
No, they're
Spanish-American.
Yeah, they're guys throwing with their foot out there back then.
Exactly. So, and Edzie Almonte, I think, was throwing with his foot, too, because he walked Rob Redford Snyder to fucking lead off the sixth. And that always kills you. Even John Baker, he would say, he said the thing he always remembers from playing the Reds, they always had that graphic. As soon as you walk the leadoff hitter, they got a graphic where this ghost comes on the screen. He goes, "Walks will haunt." And they do. Brett Snyder walks. Then you get a pop out to the catcher from Valdez. Dalbec struck out swinging, so you got two outs. But then Rafaela, he doubled. And that moved Brett Snyder to third.
And I will say, I mean, Daniel say, like, previous to this inning, every hit was frustrating to him because they were all seeing eye. They had a weird bounce through the infield or just hitting the right spot. Hit third base. And Danny's like, "Are you kidding me? Have they even hit a good ball yet? Like, this is just dumb luck right now."
And it was. Yeah. The whole beginning of the game, all those little seeing eye singles.
But then they started hitting the ball hard and started feeling themselves. That was right around now.
And it was right around that when Yency Almonte came in. I'm putting two and two with that. And so then the real big blow that put the Red Sox up 4-0, because they, if you recall, still had not scored in this inning, even with all this action. Jaron Duran, their leadoff hitter, tripled. And that scored everybody, and now it's 4-0 Boston. And then Almonte intentionally walked Devers, and then Tyler O'Neill got called out on strikes. And we were wondering where that pitch was. It's funny. He swung at two balls, but the called strike three was right down the fucking middle.
Yeah.
So, in fact, he probably is looking at that pitch tracks, being like, "Why did I not hit that off the monster?"
That was his pitch.
So, Rob Refsnyder, he had come in, by the way, as a pinch hitter. He remained in the game as the DH. So you can DH, you can pinch hit for the DH, and then that's the DH, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, you just can't move the DH to a position spot.
I think you can, can't you?
And retain the DH.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't. Like, fucking David Ross kept losing the DH and had a pitcher.
Right,
he had,
David Ross had two pitchers bat somehow.
Because he had to replace the pitcher in the lineup. I was like, how do you fucking get the DH in the National League and lose it twice in a fucking season? And then lose the game, you know? It's like you're playing, like, 1D chess. All right, so top of the seventh, Hap called out on strikes. Morrell lined out. Bush got hit by a pitch. And then Dansby Swanson singled, so the Cubs got something going with two outs. Matt Mervis singles, and the Cubs finally score a fucking run. It's 4-1. And Chris Martin from Coldplay, who has a second career as a relief pitcher for the Red Sox.
Maybe it's his third career, because it did, dude. I got to tell you, after the first guy he faced, I'm like, I don't know, shit doesn't look good. It's just coming in straight compared to everyone else. Like, there was a noticeable difference between his pitches, and you know,
and
now they have to, you know, throw to three guys, and this is when things go sideways. Because I knew after the first guy, I'm like, this guy doesn't have it.
Well,
he got this one out. I understand, but it still didn't look good.
He got two outs.
Right,
Houck got two outs in this inning before they finally brought in Chris Martin.
No, that's what I'm talking about. So Martin got this first out, but even though he got it, he didn't look good. And then, you know, he has to come back in the next inning, and I'm like, get him the fuck out of there, and they did not, so.
Right, well, you're jumping forward.
I'm jumping ahead, I'm saying, like, his first batter, you could tell his stuff wasn't good.
Yeah, no, I could tell. You know, Amaya ended up grounding out, to end the inning, which was unfortunate because you got the Cubs threatening. You think that they're at least going to get back into this game, maybe score another run, make it 4-2, 4-3, you know, get back into it. But they did not. And then the bottom of the seventh comes, and this is when Palencia came in. He was just, like, pumping fucking heat.
His stuff looked so good. I really liked watching him pitch, man. And it, the pop on that ball was unbelievable. When he reached back, you know, he had 99 probably six or seven times, bring it up to 100 a couple times. Like, it was real nice.
Yeah.
It was real nice.
He looked great. And I don't know why they're going to send him down again, but they probably will. And they might have already done it, and I haven't even looked up the transactions of the day. So then, yeah, he looked good. He gets him 1-2-3. That's what we need back there. And then, top of the eighth, Pecro Armstrong led off with a single. Horner singled. It's two out in the inning, so yeah, good point. Like,
right.
He did not look good. You're like, get him out of there.
Get him out of there, and they kept him in, and then the fucking wheels fall off.
Yeah, Tauchman homered. Three-run shot, but nothing. And that ball went right on top of the wall of the center field wall.
Made it by an inch.
Yeah, just made it over that wall.
But that probably would have been a triple otherwise.
Oh, yeah, it still scores at least two, but maybe doesn't score him because the next two guys struck out. So, Happ with the bases empty, and Morrell struck out. Michael Busch then flew out, and that was the end of it. But the game was tied now. Bottom of the eighth, Palencia, who I didn't know could do this, stayed in.
Well, and let's remember, you got to sing Sweet Caroline, and you loved every minute of it.
Yeah, Cubs need something similar. We need an eighth inning song.
And then we did Shipping Off to Boston.
Yeah, there's three songs.
No.
There's Take Me Out to the Ball Game, Shipping Off to Boston, and Sweet Caroline. No, there's four songs.
And then we did Dirty Water.
And Dirty Water at the end. So Cubs need more songs. So, once again, Boston, superior baseball experience in those ways.
Yes.
Steak sandwich, way better.
Seats, way better.
Seats, way better, yeah. Although those seats do exist at Wrigley, but...
They do.
I can't afford them.
Right.
But I was surprised I could afford them last night. But thanks to Michael Cotton, we could.
Well, I think that's the thing we were talking about. Like, it didn't feel as special. I mean, we've done this every time the Cubs have been there. And this time felt different. Like, years past, like, it wasn't even sold out. Or it wasn't full. It's not that it wasn't sold out. It wasn't full. There were a lot of empty seats last night. And it was a perfect night out.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but enough.
Yeah.
The six seats next to us were empty, which was nice.
Yeah, for a nice night, you'd be surprised. And there weren't as many Cub fans in town. Although, you know, we saw Jeremiah Paparocki at the game. And he brought his mom. They sat at the Monster, on top of the Monster. Now, those tickets cost him 500 bones.
Yeah.
So, but that's a special experience that very few people get to experience. But, to be honest, our seats were way better for one-fifth the price.
Right.
So, then, let's see, where are we? We're in the bottom of the eighth. Oh, yeah, just more strikeouts from Palencia. He ended up with 3 Ks in this game. Pumping 100, looked great, and threw 27 pitches, so he's probably not available tonight. And he might be on the plane back to Iowa, to be honest.
Yeah, just might be.
bottom of the eighth. Oh, I already did that. Those were the strikeouts. God, there's so many strikeouts in the eighth. That was like strikeout central. Because Jansen came in the top of the ninth to replace Martin. Got Dansby to ground out.
And what did I say? Right after the eighth inning, you guys tied it up. I said, all right, Jansen's going to go 1-2-3, and then we're going to walk it off. And you're like, not a chance. I said, I guarantee it.
No, I mean, you were absolutely right. I mean, I knew that was going to happen as well. I just wasn't going to let you just have that premonition in the moment when it hadn't happened yet.
All right.
But, no, I've already seen that play out a couple times this year.
Right.
You know? You know, we've blown a lot of games late. Now, this one we fought back in and then lost. But it wasn't like they blew a lead or something, you know, late.
Cubs were lucky to be in that game at all with how well Hauk was pitching.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was unbelievable last night.
Yeah. So, I don't even think he gets the win. Jansen got the win, actually. Yeah. So, once again, why pitcher wins are the most important stat. It should be the only thing followed by anybody.
Correct.
You know, that's some old school shit. Batting average and wins. That's how I fucking do a show. All right. So, yeah, but here's the fucking thing about Kenley coming and doing 1-2-3. they took Mervis out of the game. They pinch hit for the DH with Nick fucking Madrigal. So in some fucking alternate universe,
it's Madrigally delicious. He looks smaller in person than I thought he would.
He was smaller than the ump who was crouching.
And the ump was a wee man himself, I think. So
it wasn't that wee.
I mean, he took a wee down his leg because he forgot. I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, it's in him. In what alternate fucking universe, Craig Council, is Nick Madrigal against a righty? Nick Madrigal's right hand. You got a lefty in Mervis. And you're going to put Madrigal up against Kenley fucking Jansen. Now, he's not the Kenley Jansen of old that you're throwing at the back of your bullpen, but he's still a fucking pitcher who knows what the fuck he's doing. He's been at it for a long time. He still throws hard. But Nick fucking Madrigal, the fucking leprechaun, that's who you're going to fucking use instead of, like, this dude that, at least at AAA, hits you 30 fucking 2 home runs a year? What do you need in a tie game in the ninth inning? A fucking dong, not a goddamn single or walk or a bunt swinging butt that fucking works out accidentally.
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ.
What a disaster. Is David Ross coaching this team?
Yeah, seriously.
What happened?
How could Craig Council shit himself on national TV like that? I'll tell you how. Because he's wearing a fucking Cubs uniform.
Yeah.
And something happened to your fucking brain the moment you put on the goddamn pinstripes and you just suck at baseball.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, indeed.
All right, so that happened. And then Nick Madrigal popped out to the first baseman, which was predicted by everybody but fucking Craig Council. Miguel Amaya struck out. That ended it. And in the ninth, Mark Leiter Jr., who's been Mark Lights Out Jr.
Oh, you guys were talking so much shit. We were going to light him up, and you're like, no. And I didn't know he was... I asked if it was Al Leiter's son. He said nephew. And I said, we're going to hit him so hard, his uncle's going to feel it. And you said there wasn't a chance. And I did see his stuff was good when it was good. Yeah. But it was like every fourth pitch. Like, he just didn't have it.
Well, ultimately, he didn't have it. He's got this sinker that's great against lefties. And he does the reverse splits thing. Like... And it when it's working, it, like, tunnels it away that it, like, the guy thinks it's going to hit him in the back foot, but he goes over, he can't hit it, you know, so if he swings at it, he's fucked. If he doesn't swing at it, it might be a strike, like, you know. Anyway, he didn't have that working for him, and he walked the leadoff man. And the leadoff man, I mean, like, the actual leadoff man, it was Jarren Durant, so you got a guy... with some speed, so when Rafael Devers came up and singled, that moved him to third with no outs. You're figuring you're fucked. And then Tyler O'Neill, I thought this ball was going to get caught.
It was a bloop. Dansby...
He had no business on this ball.
I don't understand why he's going after it. Like, Dansby... Darwin Barney Swanson out there just like running out over the shoulder when the left fielder's running in on the ball, and I think he would have had it if Swanson just would have stayed out of the way.
Well, and also even he fucking missed it, but they also went tumbling down. The guy tagging up, what's he gonna fucking do?
I don't know what where the ball hit. I haven't watched the replay yet. I listened to the audio replay because Danny was playing it at like 5 in the morning really loud when I was trying to sleep. But I didn't actually see it. I don't know. Yeah, I'll watch it while I'm doing 103 miles an hour on 95. Did it hit the back of his glove?
No, it actually went off the back of Dansby Swanson's glove.
Yeah.
So he goes tumbling. Either way, he's got his back to the fucking infield. And Hap... he was fucking playing on top of the Green Monster, apparently. Because
he was so,
like,
far out.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Like, with a guy on third, isn't it prevent defense time? Like, if it's that
move
deep
in.
Over his head, he's going to tag up
he's
anyway.
He's going to tag up anyway.
Although left field, it's not that far out. But, yeah, he should have been in.
He should have been playing in. You need a situation where you're just going to try to cut off that run at the plate no matter what. It's the winning run.
Again, is that coaching? Is that awareness? Is that the pitch clock speeding things up so fast they can't position themselves?
Both.
Like,
fucking get your head out of your ass. I don't know. Like, Dude, I looked at where Ian Happ was. He's shading him to center.
Yeah.
Was the issue.
When you have this kid out there who's really fast, you don't need to fucking cheat center. When you have Crow Armstrong, because he's quick, right? I like that. Dude, doesn't seem necessary either, right?
They should have had fucking all infielders, basically, just cutting that run off of the plate. If it goes over your head, it's a tag up. Just like you say, play in, cut the run off. You know, like, you know, if he hits it hard enough, you might be able to gun him down. Like, maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
Pick him off third or get him going to the plate. So, yeah. It
there's no like outs.
Bad positioning, like, and I don't know why Dansby Swanson was making that play. It seemed like a bad idea. And
well, I mean, Happ wasn't close. Happ wasn't even close. Like, it wasn't like even an almost collision. Like, Happ was still like feet away from it.
I feel like he could have sped up and got there if he didn't see Swanson.
Ian Happ?
Yeah. I still think he would have had a chance. Anyway.
I think P. Crow Armstrong probably could have gotten there faster than Ian Happ.
So that was it, and it was pure pandemonium, and I lost my voice for the rest of the night. I'm glad I have it back now so you can all listen to me
now. I don't. I'm losing it on this show.
But it was a hell of a game. It was a fun game.
Fucking sucked.
Great experience. Great seats. Thank you, Michael Cotton. That was unbelievable. I was fucking beside myself. When we walked down there, my brother had no idea where we were sitting, and he was so pumped when we went down there. Dan's cracking.
So was Miguel, because I told Miguel, I'm like, we're sitting right down front. And, you know, sometimes, like, a lot of people, like, pump up their seats. Oh, I got the best seats. And you're, like, kind of behind a pole or some shit, you know, I don't know. But, no, these were surprisingly close. They were even closer than I thought they'd be. I thought we'd be, like, maybe, like, 15, 20. These were like 10th row. I mean, we were right there, but Marlon's man, we fucking took pictures with him. Man, it was incredible. Well, so now we're on our way to New York City. How far are we? An hour and a half away? Something like that? Hour 45?
2.5 hours.
Yeah. Which is why we've been late to everything. Now we're going to be early because I've overestimated. Anyway, so I want to tell a story about 30 years ago, when Lyle and I were in college, we both went to American Musical and Dramatics Academy at acting school, and Lyle got kicked out of the dorms, pretty much, because his room with our buddy Adam, God rest his soul, was...
apparently, someone went in the room and found LSD in our freezer. I don't know how that got there, and whose that was, but we were... We didn't get expelled from school, but we were kicked out of the living facilities.
Yeah, but they moved you down to the Lucerne, and they
broke
split
us
you
up.
They broke you up like you were fucking, like, honestly, like you were children.
Yeah.
Yeah, they treated you like children.
By the way, we were terrible influences on each other, and it was probably the smartest thing they did, but then we just said, fuck it, we're getting our own apartment.
I'm surprised that you didn't die when Adam died. Because I thought that it was going to be the same night.
The same. And probably about 10 years before he went.
So these are my best friends, you know, that I'm hanging with. So I was pretty much doing what you guys were doing.
Exactly.
When they got kicked out of the dorm, we decided we were going to get our own place. So we were going to move to Greenpoint, Brooklyn. It's the only place we could afford. And the four of us moved out to this roach-infested apartment at 93 Eagle Street. But we had no furniture. So Lyle had this truck from being in high school, right? Your high school truck was a pickup. And you had some furniture, your boyhood furniture. And
so we took the bus or the train to Boston. And then my dad picked us up and we got the truck, and we literally turned right around and loaded the shit up and drove right back to Brooklyn.
Yeah, we went all night long. We went all night.
And we basically just passed the Billerica, Massachusetts exit a little bit ago. We were staying with my brother in Malden, and now we're driving to New York. We're reliving the pilgrimage.
We're reliving the 30-year-old pilgrimage. I guess it would have happened. We did that shit in winter because, if you remember, we started February 1st because we brought those chicks, Salada and Jen, up there that one night and drank all that Midnight Dragon.
That happened.
And then we found that chair, and we ended up because you slept in that chair buck-ass naked, and you woke up, you had bug bites all over.
I was covered in, like, fleas and... and cockroaches, and a mouse ran out from inside the thing. It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. Everything
and I'm like,
wrong.
Danny, where'd this chair come from? He's like, oh, I found it next to a dumpster. I'm like, awesome. Yeah.
Even worse, that chick Jed had a mustache.
Yeah, well.
So, it happens. So, anyway, we went up to Boston, and we got all the... We got your childhood mattress that was, like, sitting on... I don't know where the fuck it was.
It was
your basement.
Yeah, it was in the attic.
Attic or something.
Yeah.
Hey, you want this thing? I'm like, well, I don't have a bed. So I slept on Lyle's childhood mattress for pretty much, like, the entire time I lived there. 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we get all the shit. We drive back in the middle of the night, and... This is before, like, GPS and all this shit. We didn't know what the fuck we're doing. We had no money.
Dan's blind and trying to read a map and getting me lost the whole way. It's surprising we're still friends because I should have murdered him that night.
No. We went over the George Washington Bridge twice, and that cost, like, $8, and we didn't have it, and, like, you know, so that sucked. So we're already, like, down money. And then I remember that was a terrible thing. We get lost. We don't know where the fuck we're going. You make a right on red. We get pulled over. Yeah. We had no idea you weren't allowed to do that in Manhattan, and you can't do it anywhere in New York City, just so you know. It's the rule everywhere.
And I'll probably do it again today because I now live in rural Maine, and I can take a right wherever the fuck I want, whenever the fuck I want, because there's nobody around.
There's not even a red.
Yeah. And we don't... I live in my house. You can go 15 miles either way before you even come close to, like, even a stop sign. You know, and it's like there's one red light on my way to Portland.
Yeah. And the only problem is when, because we cut that construction. This part's boring, but, you know. Anyway, we're reliving this pilgrimage. We're going...
And then we drove by the Mystic River, and when you go by there, there's people fishing.
Yeah.
And we saw this guy, he's wearing an orange hat, you see.
One time, somebody saw a family of grizzly bears. So anyway, we're reliving the same trip. It's beautiful right now. The leaves are starting to come bud out on the trees a little bit. We're heading to New York City where we spent, you were there till like 98 maybe.
Yep.
And I lived till 2012.
Danny lived till 2012 and then he was crucified and now he's back. It's the second coming of Danny Rocket.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a whole new man now. And except for that, we're doing the exact same thing we did 30 years ago.
Right.
Except for without your baby mattress in the back.
And I got to tell you, a weird part of this trip is I just turned 50, and I think I said that already. And
Connecticut! We're in Connecticut!
And, man, we didn't think about how much sleep we needed and how much rest we needed. And we're running on fumes already, and we're down to this is going to be the crazy day.
Oh, come on. We didn't sleep that night coming back from Billerica in your truck.
Yeah.
You know, we moved all our shit.
I didn't need to sleep when I was 20 years old.
Yeah, we moved all our shit all day long, and we didn't even do it with the help of drugs.
Right.
In fact, we were drunk probably while doing it.
Correct.
I believe we drank beer the entire time we moved. So anyway, we're on our way back to New York, and we're going to see my other best friend, Johnny Onomatopoeia, who you guys never really overlap, but people, listeners of the Sun Ranto show, know him well. So we're going to go hang out with him. He lives in New York City. And we're going to go to the Mets Cubs tonight. And tonight, we got Jameson Taillon on the mound versus Luis Severino. And I'll just give you this matchup real quick. So Taillon, he's won both of the games since he came back from injury. He's looked really good. He's kind of been a solid piece so far since he's been back. And I like what I see so far. I hope it continues. And against him, the Mets, J.D. Martinez as a homer and has seen him a bunch. He's only batting .222. And Harrison Bader is a Met now, so that, you know, he's going 4-for-4.
He's gonna light it up tonight.
Steal like 8 bases in the series and shit.
Yeah.
But against Taillon, he's slashing .167, .231, .167. So, maybe, just maybe. Lindor's 2-for-7, and then everybody else hasn't seen him much. Pete Alonso has a home run, but who doesn't he have a home run off of? That's what I want to know. That's really the question. Who does Pete Alonso not have a home run?
That's one of those guys you just really like to have on your team, huh?
I thought the Cubs could, you know, we didn't even have a fucking first baseman until they went and got Michael Busch. Alonso... I mean, the Mets would probably want a lot for him, but, you know, you're going to get somebody like him. But then if you go get Alonso, you're like, well, why don't you fucking keep Rizzo? He's just a little older, you know. It would have cost you less than Alonso, probably,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, probably.
But they didn't want to do that. But Severino, so far this year, he's gone 5 innings 3 times and 6 innings twice. He had a rough first start, so his ERA got inflated right away because he gave up, well, only 3 earned. But he did give up 11 hits in 5 innings. But that's a long time ago against Milwaukee. The game the Mets lost. And last time against the Giants, he gave up 3 runs on 5 hits, struck out 5. So, you know, basically, you got your battle of the threes tonight, you know, is what you're looking at, you know. And the Cubs have seen him. The only guy that's really seen him is Yan Gomes, and not even that much. 1 for 8. Nobody's homered. Nobody even has an extra base hit off of him from the Cubs. So, I don't know. Bet the under. I don't know. 2 number 3s going at it. I wonder what the over-under is on it. What would you put it at in this game?
I'm going to guess it's at 7.5.
All right. We'll look at that later.
We're going to take the under.
So, that is a preview of tonight's game. I didn't look at what the Mets are doing so far this year. I should look at that real quick. I know it felt like they were going to give up, and then it seems like they didn't. Like, they're not going to compete, but they're kind of going to be okay, I think.
I mean, Danny, this is kind of a home away from home for you. You go to a lot of Mets games. Are you excited to go? I mean, even though this fucking stadium is a goddamn toilet with that stupid fucking apple out in the outfield.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's in Flushing, for God's sakes. Like, what's a bigger toilet bowl than fucking Flushing?
Exactly. Cue Archie Bunker Flush.
Exactly.
But, no, and plus, like, you must hate it, especially because they got that Bill Buckner statue out there, up the first baseline.
Yeah,
the Mets are 14-13. They're in third place. They have played some pretty good teams. They just played the Cardinals and lost 2 of 3 to them. 3-3 to them.
I don't think the Cardinals are a pretty good team.
Yeah, and they're not. But they beat the Dodgers, though. They beat the Dodgers on the road.
The two highest payrolls in MLB?
Yeah, probably.
They are. I think Mets are number one, and they're not that great.
They swept the Pirates.
So did the Red Sox.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Pirates, they got off to a great 2-week start.
That was it
for them. Their season's over. So anyway, I don't think the Mets aren't going to be as shitty. They're not going to be as good as the Braves. But I don't know, the Braves have some pitching injuries, right? Strider on the shelf.
Yeah, I think they have enough offense, though, to survive. I mean, they got some boppers on that team. So
Philadelphia, too, they got to contend with those assholes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'd be surprised if the Mets finish above third place.
Yeah, I could see them being third place. You know, I think that's where everybody may be picking
them. I don't think they make the playoffs, and that's pretty pathetic for how much money they spent on that team.
Yeah, but, I mean, they still got some boppers. You know, they did go get J.D. Martinez.
Yep. He's old now, though.
He is, but, you know, he'll still fucking hit you some fucking bombs.
Yeah.
They still got Pete Alonso on the team. He'll hit you a bunch of bombs. Harrison Bader, we all know what a fucking thorn in the side he can be.
Yep.
Beatty? I think he was, like, a new dude. He's our third baseman.
Dude, I didn't even know Warren Beatty was still alive. Jesus.
I thought he got caught at venereal disease from Madonna and died.
Didn't he get canceled?
Yeah, probably. All the boomers did.
We're going to get canceled after this episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that. This episode, unsurprisingly, going long. If you want to know how Son Ranto shows ended up long, it was me and Lyle's fault.
Yeah, we just couldn't stop. We're like, 1 hour. We're going to stick to it. Yeah, 2 hours later. Yeah. Shit, I still have more to say.
And sometimes it was 3 hours because of technical difficulties. Lindor's still on the team, you know, and he's old now too, but still.
Yep.
He's Lindor, but he's only got an OPS of 572 this year. He's only got an OPS of 572 against Tyone. Narvaez, the catcher. McNeil's okay. Like, you know, they're not bad. Nimmo's still on the team. So, I don't know. But they're not as good as they're supposed to be, considering how much they're fucking paying. Like, it's amazing, like, how $300 million doesn't buy you shit anymore.
$300 million doesn't get you what it used to.
So that's your, and the game's at 7 o'clock, and we're going, so we'll be at the game. And
after we golf.
After we golf, we're golfing, then we're going to the game.
And Danny doesn't golf, so this should be interesting.
Yeah.
We're doing a chip and putt, so it's not really golfing.
Yeah, it's one step above mini golf.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing, and then the last thing, and I know this is already going long, is that we listened to the first Sun Ranto show yesterday.
And you're going to release that as a bonus episode, too, if people want to listen to it and check it out or tag it somehow so they can hear it.
I might as well just re-release it, like, now or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll re-release it maybe with this show, you know, and you can listen to it. I'll put it on. In fact, I'll add it to the show. If you want to stay listening to the show, you can listen to the first Sun Ranto show. It's 47 minutes long.
It should have been 36 minutes long because I was trying to get off and Dan wouldn't stop talking.
I wouldn't shut up. In fact, the whole end of it, I think I probably edited stuff out and probably did an intro like back in the day. But that's missing. I don't know where that show is at this point. But I have the raw footage of the entire phone call.
Do you have the original song for this episode?
I have the session on an old hard drive.
Right.
But I don't use that program anymore. Anyway, this is so interesting to everybody. Let me tell you about my switch from Pro Tools to Logic.
You know, I'm 50 now, and I take two blood pressure medicines, and I need to take a little bit of the old Adderall just to get my blood pumping there, and then, I got the gout, so I'm taking a little allopurinol a couple times a day just to keep that at bay, so, it hurts, and did I tell you I hurt my knee? And I stubbed my toe.
Oh, yeah.
I've been limping around all day, so.
Yeah, Lyle's been limping all over the places we've been going, yeah, he can't even fucking walk.
Jesus, we're fucking old, we're just...
I got a pinched nerve in my back.
Yeah, it's bad.
But that's my question, though. It's like, when you hear us talking 13 years ago, because that show's from 2013.
Yeah. Do you hear the youthfulness in our voice?
Wait, I can't even count. Wait, how many years is that?
I was in my
30s. 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. So 11 years ago.
Yeah, I wasn't even fucking 40 yet. Jesus
Christ. Neither one of us were. So when you hear that show from 11 years ago... I've been telling people it's 13 years. I've been fucking exaggerating to everybody. It's like, yeah, we got 1,000 episodes. No, it's more than that. We got 13 years under our belt. I'm like, no, it's 11. It's 11 years ago.
It's 12. It's 2024. We started in 2012.
We're in our 12th year.
All right, yeah.
So anyway, do you hear anything different about, like, you back then versus you now, or, did anything strike you about hearing us talk?
I think a few things struck. We didn't know if anyone... Actually, it was a practice episode that we ended up releasing. So we were maybe a little looser. I think we'd probably get a little more canceled now than we would then because...
We were nervous.
We were
listening to ourselves like, oh, where are you going with this? Jesus Christ.
Oh, there must be a bad accident up ahead. The highway's closed.
Highway's closed.
Cars coming the other way.
Oh, no.
So we offend the handicap. We offend
cancer patients.
Cancer patients.
Alopecia people with no hair.
We fat shame like 10 players. I don't know. Like, I think we might have pushed the limits to what maybe we should have been doing there. But it's a great episode. It was really fun to listen to. And I will, just a couple things. Like, I did predict that the Cubs were going to win the World Series in 2016. Which
you said 15 first.
I said 15. I said, 15, maybe 16,
15,
actually.
15, 16. But you were talking in 2013. That still feels like a long way off to see, because we were already talking about Javier Baez possibly coming up. And you were like, I think they'll keep him down longer, because he was probably in single A.
Right.
But we were already excited about it.
And we already had inklings of knowing that teams were starting to think about keeping guys down through a certain date so they could keep them another year of eligibility on their rookie contract. So we had some ideas about that.
But we also made the joke that we had no idea what OPS is.
Or war.
Or war. That's what it was, war. We don't know what war is. I didn't even think we knew to say OPS. I don't even think we knew. There's something going on, guys, on the highway, just like to report. They're taking everybody off of 95 Or no, 84? We're on 84?
Yeah, we're about to head towards Hartford, and the highway is just fucking closed. Close. There's cops everywhere. They have a car pinned down over there. I think that things are going to go crazy here in a second.
I think, it's happening. We might be on our way to New York at the wrong time. So anyway, getting back to the show, I was surprisingly pro Ricketts.
You were very pro Ricketts.
Yeah.
And it was funny. We were because we had just been to Fenway, I think we were saying, and right? Is that true? We were talking about, or I was telling you about how
Theo came.
Yeah, and all the improvements around the stadium and how it kind of made it a better experience because you could just be near the ballpark and it was fun, even though all the bars are there in Wrigley. Like, it just added another, like, dimension to it. And Dan was super pro Ricketts.
Yeah, I was like, block their view.
Yeah.
I was like talking about the, talking about the, sorry, there's cops, so if we sound distracted, there's just a lot of fucking chaos while we're trying to do this show, which shouldn't surprise us. What's this fucking doing? Like, just because there's cops doesn't mean you gotta go 35. It's the fucking highway.
Oh,
goddamn Subaru Outback. Every fucking time.
It's always a Subaru.
It's always a fucking Subaru Outback. Oh, you got a high safety rating, did you, ma'am? Jesus. All right, sorry, I'm gonna have a heart attack on the show, which would also be fitting.
Yeah.
Then we will really bookend those 30 years, won't we?
Yeah, let's just end it right now. Let's just watch you croak.
I believe my first heart attack was the first night we spent in that apartment.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it was fun to listen to that. But yeah, I thought, like, put up the video boards. Turn on the money machine. Because Ricketts came on and he said, hey, we need this money to put on the field. And, hey, Wrigley was a dump. I loved it. I loved it being a dump. But there was literally concrete falling on people's heads.
Yeah.
So much so that you could be at the game and be like, see those nets?
Yeah, and it would just be full of rubble.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, what is happening
and
down
then,
there?
Because who looks up? You gotta trust. You trust.
Yeah.
That, you know, this thing's passed inspection, that, you know. But this shit was about to not pass some inspections. You know what I mean? Like, it was definitely not up to code in any way, shape, or form. And it needed some improvements. So I was like, yes, let's make those improvements. Like, I guess I was pro video board for a moment. I think that ship sailed pretty quick once I really thought about it. But on that show, I was pro video board. But I think I changed my mind early. You know, at this point, what the fuck am I going to do about it?
Well, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
What's done is done.
We talked about David DeJesus' hot wife.
Which was embarrassing to Danny because he's since become friends with the man. And
I worked with him.
So there's that.
Well, and it was hilarious. I was telling the story about. So when I was working with David DeJesus at NBC, I said to David, I used to write these hilarious parody articles that, you know, and I did one on the day you got injured. You went crashing into a wall like in 2013.
Right.
And
We thought he died.
Well, I wrote that. And I wrote that he burst into flames is what I wrote. That he hit the wall and he completely burst into flames and the firemen came and all this shit. And I photoshopped something up and it was just a joke. It was a big joke article. But in that article, I talk about David DeJesus' hot wife. And I did it in a pervy way. And in an inappropriate way. Like, I'm not proud of everything I've ever said and done. You know, and I'll be the first one to be like, oh, that's cringy, Daddy.
Yeah.
You know, and I've done a lot of things. So I've erased as many as I could. I really have.
So Danny's telling him about this article, and he's like saying, and then Danny's like, I should go back and look at that. And then he gets on, he sees, he's like, oh my God.
What did I write?
I hope he doesn't look at this. And it took Danny like an entire day to figure out how to get into the blog site.
Yeah, it was like an e-blogger, and I was like, what's my fucking password? And I don't even use that email anymore. And, God, it was just like.
But he got it down just in time.
No, it's still up there. You can take a look. It might be, I don't know. It might be in some form. I actually think I did take that down just so he wouldn't see it, or it's at least hidden, you know, from the site. We talked about wishing that Mark Grace would come back and be a broadcaster, and since that time, he has canceled himself. But we wanted multiple times. Yeah, we wanted drunk Mark Grace.
Yeah,
and then we got it, and it went terribly.
It did.
And he was misogynistic, and it was like, oh, Mark Grace. But that's kind of how we knew it was going to go down, and we wanted to see it anyway. But it obviously wasn't going to work for the general public.
I mean, how do you...
I'd watch it still.
I mean, I know... I mean, men of your age and older are nostalgic for Harry Carey. I mean, how do you think that would go right now? I mean, you go back and listen to some of those broadcasts, and it's summertime, and they're scanning around the stadium, like... Oh, she looks healthy.
Curving, curving on the girls.
Yeah.
You know, talking about their bodies and, you know, the specific physical attributes, you know. Arnie Harris. I mean, that guy was a freaking peeping Tom.
Yeah.
And he was like, who was that? It was Arnie in the booth. And they had somebody else in there, too. I forget. But Dwayne Statz or something. He did it for a few years. He was like the Zach Zaidman of his time. I don't remember how it all was. But, yeah, we were pining for some more drunk Mark Grace in the booth. And you were good on you were a year early on predicting Rizzo's breakout.
Yeah.
We had just gotten Rizzo.
I thought he was going to hit 33, and he hit 23, but he hit 32 the next year. So
now, you were a year early on the World Series until you corrected yourself.
Yeah.
And you were a year early on Rizzo. You thought he'd hit 30, and he hit it the next year.
I was right on about a bunch of the players. I think we both were. I think we had some good insight. We had a good feel for the players and the team. I think we had a understanding about how shitty they were.
I was surprised how we understood what we were looking at.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised because I must admit, like, one difference that I noticed for myself is I do know a lot more about how baseball works
now.
Now, because I've spent, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours now studying it and talking about it.
It's second nature to you now.
I wouldn't say that. What I'm excited about is I feel like with baseball, because of the comings and goings of, like, the styles of play and the tinkering that they do, whether it be new rules or flimsy uniforms or some, you know, whatever it is, there's always something to get at. It's still interesting to me. The day it's – and not – the things that maybe interested me back then, I mean, think about it. Cubs had not won the World Series yet. We're still talking about curses and goats and, like, Bartmans and, you know – that's still kind of hanging over the team's head as a legacy. And now you got to say that this is a completely different franchise than it was at the time we recorded that album.
I think the team was so much more beloved then. And then, obviously, with the pinnacle of the championship and what it meant to so many people and, like, years of family lineage and all that stuff, and even the couple of years after, I think since then, I think a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouth about what the organization means now and what it is, you know? And, like, I mean, do you have any pro Ricketts feelings in your body at all anymore?
Yeah, for Laura. I mean, Laura Ricketts seems cool, but she's still a billionaire who, you know, I don't know what she could do to fix anything, but, you know, could she do more? Like, it seems like if I had $1 billion, I could do more. Does she, you know, so people can do what they want, I guess, but I mean, but yeah, fucking Pete Ricketts is a fucking garbage. The governor of Nebraska, fucking Todd Ricketts, is a fucking garbage. The dad's garbage.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, I've met him multiple times. Nice guy, you know, but, you know, I've met a lot of, I bet you could fucking there are a lot of evil people that you could play checkers with and have a fucking meal and be like, hey, he's a nice guy, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, Hitler showed me his wine cellar, you know, like,
right.
You know, what the fuck, he had the best vintage, he was very generous, you know, like, what the fuck, you know, these people are not good, I don't agree with them politically, so yeah, I think when you're, the thing you love, the baseball team that you love is tied in to some of that stuff, and I don't know if we knew that at the time, when we recorded in 2013,
right,
that
episode. We knew a fan was buying the team, and I think a lot of the times you and I talked about it, you know, that's what was so exciting about the Patriots through their heyday and their run, which continued through all of that, was that a fan, a guy who had season tickets forever, bought the team, and he cared so much about it, he was going to do whatever it took to win. And I believe the Ricketts did that, but then they just, it became a financial tool for them and, you know, whatever. Anyway, so yeah. I think that kind of covers, like, what we were talking about and what we did. I will say, we've been driving with the air conditioner off and the windows up this whole time.
Yeah, we're dying.
And I'm soaking through my shirt right now, so In typical fashion, Danny and I were supposed to wrap this up a long time ago, and I blame him. He just won't shut the fuck up.
So. Lyle had corned beef for breakfast, so I think we got to go.
Yeah.
But if you want to hear what we fucking talked about, and you got another 47 minutes in you, then I'll put it on.
You put it on there. You should. Yeah, I agree.
Or I'll just release it separately. Nobody cares. I'm going to release it, and you can hear both things, but I'll release this first, and you'll at least have an idea of what happened in last night's game and what's about to happen tonight. So, Spagog, y'all.
Spagog, and thank you all. Thank you,
Michael Cotton.
Michael Cotton, for such a fabulous night. I really, really had a good time. And
what a great present.
What a great gift.
All right, Spagog.
All right.
Now, oh, yeah, that sounds way better.
Yeah, it is better. Yeah, FaceTime sucks.
Yeah. Holly says hi.
Hi, Hal.
All right, first question. Is Jeff Schmamars the Darsda, the shark? The most fuckable club.
No way, man. How could you fuck a guy with a mullet that looks like that? He's got the worst fucking mullet ever. I mean, and you know why you know he's not fuckable? Because he's obviously not fucking anybody, because no woman would let him wear his hair like that.
That's true. I mean, if he was playing hockey, it would be acceptable, but he's a baseball player, for God's sakes. What is it, 1983?
He could be a relief pitcher with that hair, but not a starter.
I know.
He's going for the Lincecum look.
Is that it? I think Lincecum cut it off this year, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, but it's probably because he got a fucking girlfriend.
Right.
Who made him
probably laid.
Exactly. He's getting laid, so she's like, actually, I won't be fucking you as long as you have that terrible mullet coming out the back of your cap. So
right.
He knew what, Lincecum knew what to do, and he fucking, cut that shit down. But the shark, he said, did you see what he said the other day?
No.
He said that he was totally committed to the Cubs, and so committed that he would break up with his girlfriend. He'd do anything to win a championship or something like that.
Well, good. Then he's your kind of Cub, because I mean, my kind of Cub is the drunk kind of Cub, like I think of David Wells or a
exactly. Or Mark Grace.
Mark Grace. I mean, that's my kind of Cub. But
yeah, exactly. Did you the game's just ended.
I have other loyalties. I actually just got home from work. I did not see any of the game today. I did, on the other hand, though, see some of yesterday's game. And there was one of the finest base running plays I think I've ever seen in the history of baseball.
Are you talking about Deonner Navarro?
Yeah, wasn't that yesterday?
Yes. My God. I just wanted to. I wanted the play trucking by the Grateful Dead as he just kept going around fucking second. He scored from first, dude. He's fatter than Soto.
How? How did he do that? I could outrun him.
Trucking. Got my chips cashed in, keep trucking.
I think we should change the words from trucking to drunken, because with that beer belly, he looks like he's been hitting the bottle a little hard.
Dude, he looks bad. I mean, I don't know. He's a backup catcher. I mean, and he made it. I mean, if there was a good throw, he wouldn't have made it, though.
No. He would have been gone. Just to jump back to the shark for a second, I will say there's not a lot of people on this team this year that I'm super excited about. I mean, Castro's fun, Barney's fun, but I still think they have a little growth to do. Castro and Barney both could have breakout seasons.
You're not into Scott Hairston Jr.?
Not into it. Not into it at all.
He's not like floating you up there.
But the shark, on the other hand, I think, as a number one, he might be the guy this year. I'll go so far as say that I have him queued up for my fantasy baseball draft pick tonight. He's one of the guys I'm going after. There's only two guys I want in the Cubs, him and Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, I think Rizzo could have a breakout year, but he could be sophomore slump.
I bet you right now, recorded here, right now, a bottle of whiskey.
All right, I'm in.
That Anthony Rizzo hits over 30 home runs this year.
All right?
No,
I don't know. I think he might. I think, but I'll still take that bet because.
All right, I'll say 33.
33?
Yeah. He hits 33.
You really think
or
he's going to hit 33 home runs?
Yes.
All right, well, it's on tape. You got to do it now. You better hope this session crashes and we have to re-record.
I hope you enjoy Old Crow.
I don't. Thank you. Yeah, man, it's, you know, I don't know about the Shark. For me, I don't know. I'm unconvinced. Like, one good year. I just remember being so frustrated by him. And I think they were fucking him around in the Hendry days because he was in the bullpen, and then he wanted to be a starter, and then, you know, he'd be the long man for a while, and, you know. And, granted, he started most – I think he started all of last year, right?
Yeah, I think he was up in the big club all year. I can tell you right now. I actually have his stats up. He was
– But was he a starter all last year?
Right.
That's the question. And I think he was. I think it was the year before that they were fucking him around.
He was 9-13 in 28 games. I'm going to guess that he started 28 games.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So
9-13. I'm sorry. I say 9-18. He was 9-13.
Yeah, and that led the staff.
Yeah, he was the ace.
he was the ace. He won like a good 25% of the games.
Yeah, he did.
Pretty close. I mean, you know.
Yeah, when did they win? 61. They won 61. He's about 20% of the games.
Yeah, 20%. Not bad. That's less. But whatever. We're not here to fucking do math. We're here to fucking talk about the Shark.
Hey, my glaucoma's acting up right now, so I've just been medicating the whole time we've been talking. So.
The only measurement I want to take is on, like, how long the Shark's mullet will get this year.
Fair enough.
I mean, can we make that bet too? Whether he goes full like long hair, like, you know, like Randy Johnson, like, is he gonna go like? Is he gonna have a tail by the end of the year? Or, you know, what's gonna happen?
I would say actually that if he's so committed that he'd break up with his boyfriend, then I would say if he goes in a really bad slump, he's gonna cut it off.
Yeah, I would say maybe that. I mean, Lincecum had a crappy year last year, didn't he?
Yeah, cut his hair off this year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, I forget really what happened in those games that Samardzija started last year, and whether he was the dude that got run support, and, you know, I don't know. What was his ERA? You got it up, right?
Yeah, his ERA was 3.81. Not terrible. The year before, he was 2.97. So,
yeah,
you know,
the bullpen half the time.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's just unproven. He's not like the next fucking Greg Maddux. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he might be. I mean, I watched Greg Maddux pitch in 87, and then I thought of Greg Maddux like I do of Jeff Samardzija right now.
Like,
and Jamie Moyer. Like, I saw them pitch at 87 for the Cubs, and it was like, whatever. You know, and they were just dudes that lost, because they lost all the time in 87, too.
God. They've really been on quite a streak here, haven't they? Well, oh, yeah. Okay, so outside of the Shark, who do you got? You have Charlie Villanueva. Do you know who Charlie Villanueva is? He plays for the Detroit Pistons. I don't know how he's going to pitch for the Cubs and play for the Pistons. Look up his picture. He has no eyebrows. He's the ugliest man on earth.
Carlos?
Yeah, but there's a guy called Charlie Villanueva.
And what's he on in the Pistons? He got no eyebrows?
He's the ugliest man on earth. So I'm trying to figure out how Charlie Villanueva is going to play for the Cubs and the Detroit Pistons at the same time.
I don't know. I think it'll be fine. I mean, it's only 4 hours away.
Fair.
Cubs with their day games. Pistons play at night. I believe they're in the Eastern time zone. Oh, no. You lose an hour that way. I don't know how he is going to do it, because
times are going to be rough.
Yeah, you get out at six out of Wrigley because
the traffic coming out of that park sucks, man. Have you ever tried to park over there?
Exactly. He's going to have to take the red line north to Kenosha and then sail across the Lake Michigan.
I don't think the red line goes to Kenosha.
Oh, really? Some homeless guy told me it did. I don't know. I've never been north of where I live.
So we got Charlie Villanueva pitching after Samardzija, the Shark.
Is he? No. I thought Edward Jackson's the number two.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, you're not going in order?
No, I'm not going in order.
All right.
And we got Kerry Wood pitching again in the starting lineup.
Exactly. I keep hoping it's him every time I see in the box score that Wood's pitching. I'm like, he's back! Yeah! Kerry Wood, one last try.
It's a typo. It's a typo. It's not Travis. It's Kerry.
Well, the only thing I like I really root for Travis Wood because he's who we got for Sean Marshall.
Right.
Oh, one of the guys. Anyway.
And it'll be nice to be able to wear your We Got Wood t-shirt again.
Exactly. I mean, but, you know, his name is Travis, which is, you know.
I know, but, yeah.
And do you know how many competitors named Travis do you know?
Not many.
Yeah.
Who's the toughest guy named Travis you've ever met?
I don't know any Travises. Have you? Do you know any Travises?
Yeah, I do know one. He's kind of a badass. So.
All right. All right. Well, maybe he's one of those kind of Travises. But actually, you asked me who I liked this year, and I liked him last year too, because he was the workhorse out of the pen, is Sean Camp.
Right.
Yeah, and I know he's kind of a sleeper. I'd say Sean Camp to someone, they'd be like, who? And because by that time of the game last year, nobody was paying attention.
Didn't he start near the end of the year too, right?
He was just in relief, I'm pretty sure. And, he ate up everything. He ate up tons and tons of innings because Lord knows the starters didn't go too many.
You know what he didn't eat? Navarro, because he's too fat.
Yeah, exactly. Navarro's way too fat. Well, maybe they should have Navarro out there eating innings. I mean, he's already there by a home plate. You know, plate usually has food on it, and there's Navarro. That's why he's so fat. He's sitting there being like, plate. You know, if only I could put some prime motherfucking rib on it, I'd be all right. But, I mean, as backup catcher, Henry Blanco was fat as a backup catcher.
Yeah. So there have been some fat catchers of the day, but have there been good ones? I mean, no.
It's why I caught. Yeah, Johnny Bench, not fat. Pudge Rodriguez, not fat, even though his name is Pudge.
Yeah, but he's fat by association.
Yogi Berra. I mean,
In his era, he was fat.
In his era,
today,
he was fat.
Today's standards, he is not fat.
No, not at all. But also, they had baggier uniforms back then, you know?
Right. Did you put a picture of Charlie Villanueva yet?
Oh, no, I didn't. Let me look. Hold on.
All right.
Charlie Villanueva.
Well, while we're doing that, back to the lineup this year.
Who do you like? Barney? Yeah, I mean, what's he going to bat? 230? He's, you know, maybe make no errors. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, based on last year.
Oh, my God. He doesn't have eyebrows, does he?
I told you.
Does he shave them?
No. Nope.
Does he have alopecia?
I think he does.
He has alopecia.
Yeah, probably. But he looks like a cancer patient.
Yeah, he does. But most people with alopecia do.
He'd fit right in on the Cubs because nobody cares if they win or not. They just care if there's cold beer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, he'd be fine. But, I mean, he wouldn't be fine in April in Wrigley because you need eyebrows to keep you warm, Jesus Christ. You need some hair on your shit. You know, if I saw him at Wrigley, I'd buy him one of those Cubs blankets or something.
So the pitching staff we had last year is not too different from what we have this year, right? Would you agree?
Well, I mean, we got Carlos Villanueva. Otherwise known as the eyebrowed Villanueva.
The caterpillar. Can we call it the caterpillar?
The caterpillar, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Let me look at his picture. What do you think? Villanueva is in V, I guess. Here we go. Yeah, he's got caterpillars.
All right.
Yeah, but he looks good. I would say that, you know, the ladies would like him. He's better looking than... Who's that big fat guy that we got for that head case, Zambrano, that one time. Oh, no, for Milton Bradley. Who's the head case? Wasn't his name Villanueva, too? He was a big, fat guy, and, you know.
Top three head cases in Major League Baseball the last 5 years. Have all been on the Cubs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, the only head case that Ozzie Guillen's a head case, but he was across town. So...
They both been in Chicago.
Yeah.
Last year, our pitching ranked about 24th in the league. ERA, quality starts were both 24th out of the 30 teams.
Yep. But I'm looking for improvement.
But batting ranked about 28th or 29th of 30 teams.
That's terrible.
It seemed like their pitching kind of held it together a little bit last year. They couldn't put runs on the board, right?
Listen, they would have been even worse if they didn't play the Astros as many times as they did.
I know. If you beat us 2 out of 3 at the end of the year, we saw them
lose to the Astros.
Yes. We lost number 100. It was amazing.
It really was.
69 cents to sit in the bleachers.
Exactly. I think it was 75 plus fees.
It was crazy.
Yeah. But they got that Fujikawa guy now who's going to be the new... He's there for when Marmol, who is also a head case, when he self-destructs at some point and can't throw his slider for strikes and hits like nine guys in a row and then gives up a grand slam, you know, then Fujikawa's going to be there to mop up. But who knows? He's unproven. He's from freaking Japan. He's going to be like the Fukudome of his time. He's going to be just
my
like,
beloved Red Sox. Look what we did with Daisuke Matsuzaka, man. He sat there for 5 years throwing meatballs.
Exactly.
Japanese meatballs, to top it off, they weren't even the good kind.
Exactly. Japanese meatballs made of, like, fish intestines. With, like, bonita flakes on top.
So the pitching staff might be a little bit improved, okay? I'll give you that.
If Garza could be healthy, it's all health, man.
Their lineup hasn't changed really at all. I mean, it looks like our leadoff hitter is going to be the Jesus, right?
Yeah. The Jesus still be up there. I wish his wife would be up there.
Don't fuck with Jesus.
Have you seen his wife, dude?
No.
Did Jesus look up? I almost said Ivan DeJesus. Look up whatever fucking DeJesus' name.
David. Look,
yeah, David DeJesus. Look up David DeJesus' wife. I don't know if it's like a Googleable thing. But.
No, it is.
Yeah?
Oh, he does. Yeah, she's cute.
David DeJesus. I want to look at her, too.
Could you please leave your pants on while you do that?
Yeah, Kim. Kim DeJesus. What do you mean she's good looking?
No?
No, I mean, she's freaking smoking.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you said, oh, yeah. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, she's a goddamn supermodel. Not my type. Not my type. Not your type either.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a cross around her neck.
Oh, she'd like me then.
That's why she liked the Jesus, because she thinks he's Jesus.
That's really
and it's check out this Google thing. Now it says people that searched for Kimberly DeJesus also searched for Tony Campana.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a weird fantasy.
It really is. No, that's the video I want to see. That's the podcast I want to hear. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, who's good on the team? I mean, I think the pitching staff's a little different. I mean, you got, you know, I mean, I think the lineup's a little different. Not the infield and the outfield, obviously. We've got Sheerholtz out there now. But, I mean, it's kind of like he just seems like the Joe Mather of his time. And, you know, we got a couple backup catchers that are having good springs. And, you know.
That young kid.
But Soriano's been there since, like,
Ruiz?
1978. Oh, the kid they sent down, Baez.
Baez, God, he had a great spring, and they say he's a couple of years away from coming out. He's a shortstop, though.
Coming out of what? The closet?
I'd look forward to seeing him at shortstop, and then them seeing moving Castro over to second base
or third.
Castro sucks at
Castro kind of sucks at fielding.
I know, so yeah. Put him in second.
Yeah, well, it's a shorter throw, but then he'll be a head case. It'll overthrow the ball from there. Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, he's got a strong arm. I mean. I don't know. I think when you start moving people around the infield, you're asking for trouble. What I'm wondering is this. If Castro doesn't become the kind of fielder that you want at shortstop, because let's face it, the game's a lot more about defense than it was back in when everybody was juicing. And so you're going to want somebody there that's not going to cost you. I mean, how many runs did he cost last year with all those errors? You know, I mean, you're going to lose a lot more games with that dude out there.
Do you trade him to the American League and let him be a DH? I mean, does he have enough power to play DH?
Or, you know, let somebody else take a chance on him because he can hit, you know? Or, I don't know, a team that's built like... I mean, I'm still excited about Castro. I'm not, like, in the trade Castro camp because, you know, let's face it, he can hit. He can hit.
I think they have a good young core right now. This is what you got to remember. Castro's, I think, 24 or going to be 24 this year.
Yeah.
And he's, other than Soriano, I think he's been on the team longer than anyone. He's a grizzled old veteran of the Cubs.
Yeah, exactly. And Barney, too, for that matter.
What's that?
And Darwin Barney, for that matter.
I know. So those two, I think they could be the core in the future for quite a while to come.
Well, except for now that Sean Dunstan Jr. is hanging out, maybe that's the real future. I mean,
right.
I mean, he's an outfielder, which is great because Lord knows we don't want to see another Sean Dunstan at shortstop. And I don't know. You ever watch that guy play? I mean,
yeah,
I know
absolutely.
That you were here.
Absolutely.
Then, he would chuck that ball. Anyway, he's with the Giants now, Dunstan. But you got Fujikawa in the back of the pen. You got Garza if he'll get healthy. That one,
right.
the another new dude. You know, Chris Russin's going to now pitch. But he's going to be the number five because
he looked good because Garza's still hurt and Scott Baker's out
till for a while.
Yeah, they said I think June or something like that, and then
that's a while.
Yeah,
so
he won't be ready till April, but he'll be out till June or so.
So we're going to see quite a little bit of Scott Russin. So hopefully he can repeat his two hit performance from the other night.
Right. And well, we lost Ian Stewart too, the star third baseman of the Chicago Cubs.
Oh my God! Are we going there? can we talk a little bit about Ian Stewart, because I don't think I've ever seen him play, and I watch every game.
People have touted him as this great third baseman,
yeah,
but I've
never seen him. I don't think he's a real person, actually.
I don't either.
I don't think he exists. I mean, I almost hate him. I know. I do hate him, actually. But I hate Aaron Miles still more, because I just always hated Aaron Miles, you know.
Right.
But he seems like the Aaron Miles. He looks like Aaron Miles, first of
all. That's because that time Aaron Miles was at your house with your sister and all that shit happened. So I know why you hate him.
Yeah, well, that and he always chopped to the second baseman. those two things, his torrid affair with my sister and chopping to the second. I would call it. I'd sit there in the stands and be like, oh, here's Aaron Miles, chop to second. And he chopped to second. But Ian Stewart, I mean, I can't even watch him chop the second. So I want to hate Ian Stewart, but I can't because I can't even see him play.
I know. It's terrible.
You know, so.
We got a few of those injuries, right? So we're going to do without those guys, which that's all the Cubs need is less depth.
Yeah, exactly. Well, who doesn't have injuries? And then it comes down to depth, right? And also people like, pulling up. But then I don't think you're going to see a Baez up, but maybe you will if somebody goes down.
They feel like they're a couple of years away from bringing him up. I mean, just based on what I've read.
Soler,
I don't know. I mean, I who's up next now? Is it Villanueva is going to play third, right?
No. What's his freaking name? Valbuena.
Valbuena. That's what I meant. The same thing.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the old days of the... I mean, we had Aramis Ramirez. I mean, do you miss A-Ram at this point?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, right? You almost actually have an awesome infield with A-Ram over there.
Right, and he's still playing well. Go get him.
Exactly. Go back and get him. He looks silly in a Brewers uniform anyway. Did you see the Brewers' new uniform?
For the season were that the Cubs' two trade pieces were Ian Stewart, which I'm like, okay, who wants him? For sure, take him. What do they give us for him? And then Soriano. But the Soriano trade looked like he was going to go to the Yankees and play the outfield, and they just picked up Vernon Wells earlier in the week. So we're stuck with Soriano, which I don't know if it's a bad thing.
Soriano. He looks a lot better. I mean, a couple years back, he looked like he was in pain. Everything he did just looked like,
do you think your expectations are just so low you don't care? Just to see him get a hit is like, yay, he hit one.
Oh, we're not booing him today? All right, good. I mean, I never booed the guy just because I feel like that doesn't help. I mean, I can't say I haven't booed people, but it doesn't help when I do it at all. But yeah, Valbuena, there's nothing to get excited about with Luis Valbuena.
Right. So, it looks like the Cubs don't have a lot of moves to make this year. They're going to go with this team. Let me ask you this question. Yeah, USA Today does their annual baseball issue. It just came out a few days ago.
Uh-huh.
They have the Cubs ranked number 28th out of 30, just out of the Astros and Miami. Do you think they're the 28? Do you think they're better than both those teams, or do you think they're maybe even a little better than that?
I think they're better than that, and it's partly it's my own stupidity for liking the stupid team, and it's like, you know, the season hasn't even started yet. I haven't gone to a single game, and what am I going to fucking do? Just sit there and like badmouth the team all year? Probably, especially probably. Since we're doing this podcast.
Let's let all our listeners and fans out there know that, you know, Sunranto is a die-hard Cubby Blue Cubs fan.
Right, right. And
I am not.
The lovable Lou Sears is fair weather, baby.
I am a Red Sox fan, yeah, true and exactly. true. That is who I watch and who I love. But I watch more Cubs games than that because I live in Chicago, and I like the beer garden there.
Well, since you've won a championship, now you got you're came with Theo. You came with Theo. You're gonna build up the bleachers, make new seats,
and head coach too.
Yeah,
he was our third base coach that year.
Exactly. Who was
Jill Svem?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a Red Sox guy. That's why he's there.
Oh, all right, good. Well, no, good. I mean, I like Dale. You know, I mean, he's got freaking bitchin' tats. Like, you gotta love the guy. Didn't he shoot Dick Cheney in the face or something? Or what happened? Like,
something happened.
He shot Rob Deere. Rob Deere shot him, or
something like that happened. Yeah. I don't know the story. Now I gotta look it up.
There's the obvious. I don't know if I think that he shot Rob Deere because his last name's Deere. I'm not sure. But, what was the question again? What were we talking about?
Oh, Robin Yount shot Dale
Robin
Svem.
Yount. I wish it was Rob Deere. I wish he shot Rob Deere because he thought it was a deer. That would be that would have been a better story. I'm going to call him up and tell him what he's got to do. So you didn't catch any of the game today, huh?
I didn't. I was at work. I had a beer tasting, a wine tasting, a tequila tasting, and a rum tasting.
Oh, nice.
My glaucoma was acting up. So
yeah, so you had to do a little treatment. It was the Cubs actually battled back today. I mean, all right, here's what we were talking about. Are the Cubs the third worst team in baseball? The third to last worst team, right? No, right. I don't think so. And they could be. I mean, if they get out there and, you know, they get on a bad losing streak, I could see it just going terribly and the wheels coming off. And like,
tell me this.
But they're young.
USA Today said that they were going to have 99 losses, just two. What do you say is high end, and what do you say is low end? Low end first. What's the worst case scenario?
Say what you're going to say again. You were just breaking up.
USA Today said they're going to have 99 losses, just two losses better than last year. Now, What do you think is going to happen this year? High end? What's the best possible scenario?
All right. And what's
not World Series, because that's not going to happen. And then low end, do they lose every game?
But I mean, as a Cub fan, you almost want this to be the team that wins the World Series. You know what I mean? Like, nobody expected it. They picked them last. You know, you're the dude that's sitting in the bleachers with the bag on your face in an April day at 32 degrees and Chris Russin's pitching. You know, like, you want to be that guy who's sitting there in April and only to not be able to afford a ticket in October.
Right.
I mean, that's what you want to happen. But realistically speaking is what you're talking about, not what I want to happen. So,
you can go that crazy. I mean, we have no guidelines on the show. We're not reporting real sports here. I mean, you and I don't even know what war means.
But, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't know. What are his splits? I don't know. I don't know. Who cares? What do you do? What does he do against lefties? I don't know. Hopefully something.
Because
he's up. I mean, I can never be. And see, that's what's missing, actually, from other. I mean, who wants to listen to a podcast of people sitting around talking numbers?
Right. And well, guess what? For every podcast out there, there's 7 billion people on the earth not listening to it. So
exactly. We're one of them, goddammit. Tens of listeners out there in podcast land. I love all 6 of you.
I would also like, as you give us your high and your low on the Cubs this year.
Yeah, I got to do that.
Do you think they could be a 500 team like they are right now? 16-16, baby.
Well, I mean, I think they can. And here's how I'm going to justify it, is because they are too young to know how bad they are. You know, they're too young to know what they don't know. Like every time I'm listening on the radio, you know, Keith Moreland will start bitching about how, you know, oh, there's a youthful mistake. And, you know, he's just got to know he's got to go halfway to second on that that play because, you know, there's a good chance with the wind blowing like this, it's going to come back in. Right. It's easy to say in hindsight. He's trying not to get picked off first, right?
Right.
But you know, there are certain things that these guys don't know, but they don't know that they don't know that yet. But, you know, the ball starts falling the right way, you know, these young guys, the, you know, you just never know. You never know. But that's how, never. That's the only
way. Okay, so what's their worst record?
95 losses.
95 is the absolute worst it's going to get?
Yeah, I think they'll at least win, what's that, 68 games.
Okay. And then what's the best case scenario?
The best case scenario is they win the World Series. No, no. In reality. I don't know. I'll go with I would say actually the best case scenario is 81-81.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I actually think I might surprise you here. I think if the chips fall right, it's going to come down to a couple of key players playing well, that they will finish 500 this year. They might be a little better than everyone thinks they are for this reason. I think Rizzo might have a monster season.
Yeah, well, you just said we just bet a bottle of whiskey on 33 yeah. homers. Yeah.
Barney is underrated. Obviously, he's a gold glover.
Yeah.
I know he only hit 254, I think, last year. I don't know. 254, I'm going to guess.
He's also batting eighth. So people yeah. aren't giving him anything to hit.
Is he going to hit second? Is he going to hit second this year, though?
No, they're going to have Castro there.
What's that?
I think they're going to have Castro there mostly until Castro gets a little more power in his bat.
Right.
Until Castro starts hitting 20 homers. You know.
You know what Barney does well? He makes contact. He sacrifices well. He bunts well. He moves the base runner along. So he does all those things really well.
Yeah, he's a fundamentally good player.
At 254, he's like a 290 hitter. That's kind of that's what his results are.
I agree. If he hits 250 and has a lot of sacrifice, takes a couple walks, you know, because they're not going to give him anything to hit,
right?
Not with the pitcher up next, you know. So you know, he's got to. I mean, he's got to be a patient hitter. I think he is. I think he's the kind of guy that'll stand up there and foul like 12 pitches off in a row, and then fly to right, you know, like I think that's the kind of guy you need in front of the pitcher, just to be like, God damn, I can't get this motherfucker out.
Absolutely. So with those two doing better, I think Castro has to continue to grow.
Oh, yeah.
The outfield, something has to happen out there. All I expect for if Soriano could do what he did last year,
which
is
awesome.
A tall order.
It'd be awesome.
They'd be in good shape offensively.
I agree.
And then this is the key, though. I think the Shark or one of the other starting pitchers needs to get 20 wins this year and another guy 17, and I don't know if they're capable.
Yeah, like Garza. I mean, didn't Villanueva have a crazy – didn't Villanueva, like, pitch a no-hitter one time or something, too?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah. And you know who we're leaving out of this whole situation is Edwin Jackson. Like, I mean,
no, he could be lights out, man.
He's the one that pitched the no-hitter. He's the one. And he could be lights out. And so, I mean, I think they're a much improved. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean,
Garza's first bullpen session is, I think, opening Cubs Day. It's that week. It's like in that week sometime they're going to start working him out.
Yeah.
So he should be ready. They said probably about a month and a half after that. So he'll be ready in June.
Yeah, he'll be fine. But I mean, the fact is like he's been injured a lot anyway.
Well, I think the rotation in general is a sea of turds, but I think the Shark is the shiniest turd amongst them all. So.
Exactly, the shiniest, most mulleted turd I've ever seen in my life. I was gonna say it was funny on the ball game today. Because the Cubs actually came back. Check this out. Navarro, you know, the Michelin man, he hit a two-run homer. It was 5-3 going into the top of the seventh. And I think Navarro's got three or four homers this spring, which is great because then he doesn't have to run that fast. You know,
it's like Prince Fielder syndrome. You're like, please get it out of the infield because you're never going to get an infield single.
Exactly. But it was hilarious because you know, the wheels come off after the top of the seventh. It was 5-3, and then it was 9-3. The wheels came off. Wade was in there. He had a scoreless sixth, but the wheels came off in the seventh. I don't think this guy Wade's going to make the rotate, or not the rotation, but the bullpen. Probably right. not after today, anyway. But I mean, the season starts next week. But anyway, it was hilarious because it was one of the most half-hearted singings of "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" I've ever heard. Take me out. Oh, they just scored six, or they just scored four, and now we're down by six. It was hilarious. Hey, but you didn't see, but I was surprised the game was even on. Jim,
I didn't know it was on because it wasn't on yesterday, so I assumed it wasn't on today.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching. I mean, it was awful. I watched the Cleveland guys.
Right.
And, you know, you just get used to who you're used to, and everybody else seems douchey to you. Even our guys seem douchey to me, you know, but their guys seem even douchier, you know, because I don't know them. But, I mean, that actually makes me – I got to ask you a question. Did you check out the new Jim Deshays action, the new Bob Bradley?
Yes.
He's not as salty as Bob Bradley.
He's – we'll see. I got to give him a couple games. I need to feel him out first. Yeah. But so far, I don't like it.
You don't like it? Yeah.
Not so far. I'm not enjoying it.
Well, he actually got a little salty today. I could tell Len Casper was getting a little nervous and uncomfortable because what happened was, you know how they're at Ho-Ho Cam Park and like the Ho-Ho Cams are that group of old men that stand there in their blazer and special pins and, you know, right. And he was making fun of them. Jim Deshays, he was calling them the Ho-Hos. And like Casper is not gonna like, you know, call him out on air. Just like, listen, they've had a 25-year relationship with the Ho-Ho Cams. Like they're a charity organization of old people. Like you can't
make fun of them.
You can't call them the Ho-Hos. Like freaking Ricketts is gonna come in here and you scald you with an iron if you don't shut up. He's like, whatever. It's our last year at Ho-Ho Camp. We got a new stadium going or so. But you know, Len Casper was just. You know, and I've heard Len Casper get uncomfortable before, and he just clammed up.
Huh.
Would not.
Good.
So I was like.
That might make the season more interesting. They might be fighting all season.
Well, I mean, they don't have a rapport yet, obviously. And, I mean, but Bradley was so salty and fun to listen to in that, you know, because he was so. Well, I mean, I actually thought Bradley was going to leave. But, I mean, even before he left, because he just seemed pissed off by the end of last year. This had it with everybody. Hated the Cubs. Hated the fans. Hated the way they played. Like, he just, I mean, is he broadcasting for somebody else right now, or is he like going to be a manager?
Did he go to Arizona?
Oh, that's right. He's the Arizona guy now. Oh, to take over for Grace.
Exactly.
Who's in jail.
Hey, maybe Grace will come back to Chicago.
Maybe Grace. That's what I was hoping, because this guy kind of sounds like Deshays kind of sounds like Mark Grace to me.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I would love it if Mark Grace was was broadcasting from jail right now. Like, that'd be awesome.
It would be unbelievable. Drunk, too. Because, I mean, he could be the next Harry Carey.
Exactly. That's what we need. Well, as long as he doesn't kill anybody, because Harry Carey never killed him. But Harry Carey didn't drive. I don't even think Harry Carey had a driver's license, which, you know, I mean, let's face it. A guy like Mark Grace needs to live in a city like New York or Chicago, where he doesn't have to drive, and he right. can get on the train or take a cab to wherever he needs to go.
Right.
So I think we should get Mark Grace. But should we start? I mean, it's already annoying.
Let's start a petition. I bet we could get. I bet you right now. I bet you another bottle of whiskey. We can get 10 signatures.
10 signatures. Well, we got to bring them on opening day. Mark Grace. Mark Grace. Or how about free Mark Grace T-shirts that we should sell?
Free Mark Grace.
Yeah, dude. That should see. The podcast is already paying for itself because
we're rich.
We just came up with the best idea ever. Somebody has it. Google,
I like it.
Google that shit.
I like it. All right.
You know they made free Mark Grace already, right?
Say that again?
They had to have made free Mark Grace t-shirts.
Look it up.
I'm going to look it up right now. I think my mouse is out of battery. Free Mark Grace t-shirt.
Stop diddling your mouse. All right, I got about 8 minutes left before my fantasy baseball draft, so there's two more things that we need to cover before we go.
Yeah, well, there's no free Mark Grace t-shirts.
All right, we got it.
Yeah, we should just print some up and bring them down there.
and we'll sell them on our page.
Exactly, free Mark Grace. It's hilarious.
What do you think about the Cubs going to Rosemont, and is it really going to happen?
Oh, Rosemont, yeah. No, of course not.
Okay, but tell me this. You're a Cubs fan. You want them to win the World Series, right?
Yeah, but it's not going to happen in Rosemont.
They could add another $1 million of revenue easy. Between ad revenue, they have 25 acres, parking, the taxes would be 9% less than they're paying right now or 8% less than they're paying right now. There's a lot of reasons why they should maybe – consider going out there.
You know, I walked down to Wrigley today, and I bought the opening day tickets, right? Because I didn't want to pay the goddamn service fee. So I walked down there, and I was looking at the bleachers, and I was looking at those rooftops, and what I thought to myself was, Ricketts should just say, fuck you, rooftops, block their view completely.
Well, that's what he's trying to do with the scoreboard, and the alderman won't let him do it.
Yeah, I'd say maybe if we have a petition against anything, it shouldn't be against JD or, you know, whatever. What's his name? Jim Deshays. But
how about let's getting a new alderman elected?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, because Ricketts owns the damn team. The alderman is like whatever.
And Tom Tooney.
Yeah, exactly. So they should build it up, and then you could also build the team like a bandbox team, like the Reds or something, because you'd be taking the wind kind of not completely out of the equation. It could still blow out, just couldn't right. blow in, right?
Right, right, right. Well, it could be.
Now that's how you win a World Series. Then stock your stuff with Rizzos, and then you know, and pitchers, and then just win all your games with a freaking walk and a blast.
In the last couple of years, you and I have had the opportunity to go to Fenway a few times and see some Red Sox games. We saw Red Sox Cubs out there, although you probably remember none of those games because you were so obliterated before they even started.
No, I was fine. I remember everything. I remember I did not see the game where Marlon Byrd got hit in the face.
Yeah, because you were busy talking to some soldier.
Exactly. Yeah, I was busy. But
what they've done there, where they closed down the street, behind Fenway,
yeah. So
it really changed the atmosphere of the park. It's really kind of nice, you know. You could stroll around there. It adds a little bit of the park atmosphere, where it's all about baseball. People are selling T-shirts and hot dogs and beer, and it's like a little bit outside the park. And that's what they want to do on Waveland behind. But the alderman's not about it. The Cubs are willing to pay millions and millions of dollars to buy those homes and.
Yep.
Build those roof decks, but
yep. Exactly. And well, the one guy won't do it, and the people that live there. But I think the rest of the Chicago would rather have it.
Right.
So I appreciate their property rights, but the fact is they're stealing baseball games. Those rooftops are stealing baseball games. They do not give the proper amount to the Cubs that they should. It was a bad deal that the Tribune – and because who made the deal? The Tribune, right?
Right.
And, you know, they knew that the Tribune went bankrupt, for Christ's sake. So they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're like, oh, sure, steal the baseball games. We're not going to put any money into Wrigley to fix it, the situation.
Right.
So let's get something out of the deal, was the right. Tribune's thing. So now Ricketts comes through. He's not playing hardball. He's saying, this is my team. Like, do you want them to be good? I mean, I think they could get the money. I don't even mind. I even think, like, you know, that Toyota sign they put up? That's not an – I mean, granted, I like advertising all over the place. I don't want it to look like Yankee Stadium, where you're just always like blue-bonnet ice cream, Lay's potato chips every fucking 9 seconds.
Right.
And I don't think they'll do that, because – that will might as well be in Rosemont at that point, right? If that's what's going on.
Fair enough. We should revisit this Rosemont one next time we talk. There's a couple good articles about there why they should go to Rosemont.
I know.
And I think the reason to stay in Wrigley is because people like the field in the bar, as it were.
Exactly.
But My only thing is if they suck and they go to Rosemont, nobody's going to the games because it's not at Wrigley. So there's going to be like 1,000 people at the games.
Exactly. So if they want nobody there in their 60,000 seater, they can have 1,000 people in a 60,000 seater, or they can pack the 40,000, even if they suck.
Right. All right. Last thing.
Yeah.
You guaranteed 2 years ago that the Cubs were going to win the World Series in 2014.
That's next year.
Yeah. Do you still believe that?
Well, I'm going to go with it. You know, right. I mean, I could say that now because it's 2013, so I got nothing to lose. It's not halfway through 2014, and we're 500 at the All-Star break.
So they're not going to win it this year. You're telling me that. So they're going to be 105 years without the World Series before they win it.
It looks so, yeah. I think they're going to wait, and you know, next year is actually the 100th anniversary of Wrigley.
Right.
So that'd be pretty cool.
I think it's going to be 2015.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you that. I mean, you know.
Or 16, before they even go.
Oh, you think they're going to lose first? Oh, I can't take another World Series. They can't go and not win it. Jesus Christ, I never
They're going to lose to the Yankees or the Red Sox, and it's going to kill you.
Oh, I never even considered that they could go to the World Series and then lose. That wasn't in the plans.
That's not in the plans.
All right. Well, you got 1 minute and till your draft, right? Is it like at 7, like on the dot that people start going?
I'm loading in right now, so.
All right, cool. Well, we recorded. Let me see how much we recorded here. 45 minutes. 45 minutes. Yeah, if you want, I'll bounce it down and I'll send it to you later so you can kind of hear what it sounds like.
Yeah, let's see what it sounds like.
You know, and just go with it. Because I mean, we could release this if you want.
Yeah, what I was going to say, let's do a couple more preseason ones and make it one big one. Like, put it together, and then we'll talk about the whole preseason and the upcoming season, the players. Let's see if we can get it together, and then we'll start doing our series one. How about that?
Well, I had an idea that maybe these are practice too. As well, because I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, I just release everything. Nobody cares. You know what I mean? Like,
fair enough.
I mean, because I've heard lots of podcasts with just two assholes like us talking. Like, I could even leave this part in when we're talking about whether we should release this, you know, because that's, you know, people get to know us, you know, oh, they're assholes.
Right.
But what I was going to say is maybe we could do a opening day or like the day before opening day, like, which would be Sunday, I guess. You know, put something together that is this preview of the season, and then opening day we could preview each series at a time.
Right.
Preview. Talk about each series. You'd talk about what's going on, and then you preview the next series. Right.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, as opposed to doing it every day. You know, then, which would be hard. I mean, we could if something's really happening. Yeah, we could do whatever we want, you know. And this is easy enough. We just take an hour or a half hour and just talk about the fucking Cubs.
Right. No, I'm all about it. I love it. I think we'll get it. So, all right, let me do this draft.
I think we're already doing a great job. All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
Damn it.